is the power grid safe? And even more challenging, if the smart grid rolls out, as everybody hopes and expects, will it continue to be safe? On Capitol Hill, the House has approved and sent to the Senate H.R. 5026. It is a measure that would beef up federal efforts to protect the nation's electrical grid from possible cyber attack. But what are the challenges of making that happen for federal officials with direct responsibility for the grid? Federal News Radio's Max Kakis is right here, and he is going to tell us. Hey, Max.
Well, Chris, that was the question that our friends over at the Association for Federal Information Resources Management, AFIRM, sought to discuss during one of their monthly luncheons entitled Smart Grid, Smart Opportunity. It was led by a very familiar voice to many of us here at Federal News Radio.
You can think of this sort of as the energy internet. That's one way experts define smart grid. It's going to be a complete overhaul of our entire energy infrastructure. The theory is that it's going to allow operators to stop problems before they start. Stop me if this is wrong, but this is what I'm learning. Stop problems before they start, allow consumers to save money, allow you to put power back into the grid, and take power out of the grid as you need it, which is not what we do right now.
Now, that is our own Amy Morris moderating the AFIRM luncheon on the smart grid over at George Washington University. One of her panelists, Eric Leitner, is director of the Federal Smart Grid Task Force at the Department of Energy. He says one of the biggest challenges for feds trying to make the electrical transmission and generation grid smarter boils down to one simple but very hard to accomplish concept: interoperability. He uses the analogy of the telephone network to explain what that means.
Interoperability means it doesn't matter what kind of phone you have, you can still call another person who has a different kind of phone. If I have an iPhone, you have a Motorola phone, somebody else has a Nokia, it doesn't matter because there are standards that have been put in place that make those devices interoperable. Well, it's the same in the electric industry. Right now, the way it works is those standards don't exist for the most part. And so equipment made by GE doesn't talk to equipment made by another vendor, doesn't talk to equipment made by another vendor. So it's not optimized at all. It's very much the Wild West out there. So what we're trying to bring is some consistency, some efficiencies by establishing standards and interoperability.
Now, another one of the lead feds who's working on the smart grid program is David Wolman, leader of the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, NIST, smart grid team. He is heading up the electrical metrology groups, not meteorology, electrical metrology. He says an important challenge for those who want to do a better job of protecting the nation's electrical grid is doing the advanced legwork of interoperability, something he calls setting standards.
Standards can either be physical standards or documentary standards. The physical standards are some of the standards in the organization that I manage. We maintain the nation's electrical standards. So all the voltage and current and resistance units that are used for instrumentation are traceable back to our laboratories. Standards are also documentary standards. So these are the protocols, the procedures for how to accomplish certain tasks and functions. And for the smart grid, what's particularly important are communications. So we're overlaying communications onto the grid. So we're infusing intelligence into the grid. That means the different parts of the grid have to talk to each other, and they have to have actionable information that then can be used in order to accomplish various tasks. So if you look at the state of standards, Eric mentioned that there's this ARRA funding in order to do investment grants. The investments that the utilities are making together with the federal government, we need to have sound standards that they can rely on for this equipment to go in an automated way and not take a lot of extra effort and energy to tweak up and make it work right. So that's the interoperability part. You also need to worry about security. We want to do this in a way that makes sure that we ensure the security and reliability of the grid. So with the state of standards, this is a hard problem because it's not just a standard for one particular piece of the grid. The entire grid has to work end to end. So the communication signals that go through the new smart grid have to go from, say, the utility all the way through to the consumer. All of those require communications with different parts of the grid, and all of those communication protocols need to be understood and standardized. And so that's been part of what we've been doing at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Our task, as outlined in the Energy Independence and Security Act, is to coordinate the development of a framework for interoperability standards. So that's a mouthful. So basically, that means standards are done in the United States out in the private sector. There's a variety of standards development organizations such as IEEE, IEC, and other similar organizations. These different standards need to work together. This involves getting these different standards coordinators or standards development organizations to coordinate with each other.
And not to put too fine a point on it, Chris, but this is probably the biggest part of beefing up the grid and making it smarter. And that's basically making these very disparate systems, in many cases, talk to one another. This was one of the goals of the Grid Reliability and Infrastructure Defense Act, the one that we spoke about at the beginning. That's H.R. 5026 that was approved by the House last Wednesday. It now is in the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Mm-hmm. Has not been scheduled for a hearing in that committee yet, or for any action over in the Senate side. But this is all part of the big debate and concern about cybersecurity. Last week, Melissa Hathaway had a very interesting list come out regarding her 9 cybersecurity bills to watch. And lo and behold, the Grid Reliability and Infrastructure Defense Act was on that very list.
Yeah, there's a lot of people worrying about, as you connect all these pieces, hold on. Yeah, we're able to share information all the more, but it also means that if a bad guy got attached to it, mm-hmm. that it could do a lot more bad things.
Lest I forget, one of Amy's other panelists on this group or this affirm luncheon panel that we'll hear from tomorrow morning is a fellow from the FCC. And that came as a very big surprise to a lot of people that here would be somebody from the Federal Communications Commission who would be on this panel. But as it turns out, and as David Woolman from the Energy Department pointed out, a lot of making the grid smart and a lot of making the grid be able to sustain attacks and to survive from attacks and basically making it into more than just a transmission resource has to do with communication. Yep. And so the ability to make it communicate from one end to the other in a very reliable way. The communication aspect of this is actually very, very important. And so we'll hear about the challenges of the folks at the FCC in terms of contributing to the discussion about the smart grid tomorrow.
And we also have put a link because last year Amy Morris did a whole series looking at smart grid. Mm-hmm. So if occasionally, and I think the smart grid can be a little intimidating to people because
yes.
There are so many pieces to it.
Oh, sure.
And so Amy did just a phenomenal job.
She certainly did.
Over a 10-piece series, you can hear and really you'll understand why this matters and why it's important. So mm-hmm. we have a link to that off of right there on DoraBeckInsider.com, which you can find right from FederalNewsRadio.com. We're also asking you the DoraBeck Insider poll. We started it last week. We're continuing it because I'm going to be on News Channel 8 tomorrow night and talking about this. But we're asking, okay, is the cyber war threat, is it exaggerated? And you mm-hmm. can take the poll right there. So far, it's a pretty clear-cut answer so far, but you can find that, DoraBeckInsider.com, which you can find right from FederalNewsRadio.com.
And also tomorrow afternoon, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that tomorrow afternoon, Senator Lieberman will be holding hearings on his bill to beef up cybersecurity.